I invite your attention this evening to Matthew chapter 11, just basically one or two verses there, Matthew 11. John the Baptist preached repentance in view of the fact that the kingdom of heaven was drawing near. This is what he announced. And in his brief ministry as Jesus' forerunner, he was a man who represented God's righteousness on earth, though he himself knew he was a recipient of God's righteousness by grace through faith. But as such, he rebuked the hypocritical religious leaders who came out and saw and heard him and looked around at what he was doing and had no intention of repenting because the kingdom of heaven had drawn near. But in addition to rebuking the religious leaders who were hypocritical, and not all of them were, but many were, he also rebuked the king, Herod Antipas, for living in adultery with Herodias. She was the wife of Herod's living brother who lived in Rome. And for this reproof, Antipas put John in prison. And that imprisonment would eventually end in John's martyrdom. But from prison, John sent two of his disciples, his followers, to ask Jesus about his work. And that's partly what Matthew 11 is telling us. John probably was wondering why the one that he had once proclaimed to be the Messiah would leave him to languish unfairly in Herod's prison, while he himself went about the countryside preaching the gospel, the message of the kingdom, teaching people the truth of God, healing people, casting out demons, and just generally blessing others. Had he forgotten John himself? Well, the Lord sent his reply to John by way of these two disciples who came and asked John's question on his behalf. And he, through them, told John, in effect, to be patient and to let him do the work that he came to do as well. And not to be disappointed or to stumble over him. Blessed is he who is not offended in me, is the wording that the Lord used. And of course, these men would carry that message back, and John would have to think, I think, about what all that meant. Well, after John's disciples left, Jesus spoke to the crowd of people who were listening to all this, that John was no ordinary man. In fact, he was a prophet, but beyond that, he was no ordinary prophet. And in verse 10 of Matthew 11, on this point, Jesus said, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." And that's a quote from Malachi 3:1. And that's God speaking to the Messiah who was going to come, that God would send ahead of him a forerunner, a messenger, if you will. And Jesus is saying, John is that messenger. And of course, he's also saying at the same time, I am the one whom he foreran. He prepared the way for me. I am the Messiah, the great servant of the Lord, who has come to fulfill the will of God that was mine to fulfill in the earth. And then he said this, our verse 11, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And you could understand him saying that, but the next statement is what is astonishing. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It's my opinion that that was a shocker, because he commended John to the heights. Among those born of women, that's just about everybody. There are only three people in all of humankind who were not born of women or born of a woman. Adam and Eve and the Lord Jesus. Well, even you have to add the Lord Jesus, but of course he had no human father. So this is high commendation. And it's quite astonishing, I think. Clearly, when Jesus referred to the kingdom of heaven, the least who was in the kingdom of heaven, he meant those who were his followers in this age. The kingdom had come, the kingdom that John announced, because its king had come. The kingdom was present in the person of its king. Jesus' kingdom is spiritual. At this time, at least, I'm a firm believer in the fact that it one day will be literal and earthly and 1,000 years and then on into eternity. But this kingdom that Jesus spoke of is spiritual. It's not political. It's not entered by being born of one of the tribes of Israel and belonging, therefore, to a people that God has chosen among all the nations of the world to be his special people. It's entered by the new birth, or the birth from above, as John 3 tells us. As the Spirit of God gives spiritual life to those who repent of sin and trust God's promise for that life, those who literally belong to the King. So, Jesus said that the lowliest believer, the least in the kingdom of heaven, as he put it there, the lowliest believer in the church age is greater than John the Baptist. This is the man who excelled all others who were born of women. What did Jesus mean by this saying about being greater? The Savior could not have meant that others would be more faithful. No one excelled John, in my view at least, no one excelled him in faithfulness. He did the will of God that was his to do. And he did it fervently and completely. He could not have meant that others would be more sacrificial. No one excelled John in that either. And I don't think Jesus would have meant that the lowliest believer in the church age could be more fervent than John the Baptist. I mean, his whole life was given over to do the thing that God called him to do, to forerun the Messiah. He was beholden to no man. He lived out in the desert. He didn't wear soft clothing. And we know the story about John. Depended on God completely. So, is the lowliest believer in the church age more fervent than John the Baptist or more submissive to God's will? I don't think so. So what did Jesus mean by this statement? He must have meant that even the lowliest believer in the church age, since its beginning at Pentecost, and even to this day, has a greater understanding than John ever had about what God is doing in the earth at this time. And greater privileges than John had to serve the Lord in the spiritual arena of his kingdom. John's ministry opened that of Jesus' ministry. He foreran him And only several months after John began preaching did Jesus come preaching. And their ministries actually coincided partly until John was cast into prison. And yet he didn't have the understanding that the least in the kingdom of heaven at this time had about what God is doing. John proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God without fully understanding Jesus' self-sacrifice for sinners' redemption. That title implied. We can tell others about the precious blood shed on Calvary for us in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, but there's no indication that John could have done that. He did not have that understanding. John proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God. This testimony is in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. But that title also he mentioned, Son of God, the one sent to do God's will with the power and the wisdom from God to do it. But we have the privilege of understanding what his being the Son of God fully means, which I don't think John had. He is God the Son, second person of the Trinity. I mean, we can read the Apostle Paul on the matter and other scriptures. And this one who is the second person of the Trinity came to earth, veiled his heavenly glory within the tabernacle of his human body. John saw the Spirit like a dove descending upon Jesus at the baptism. And he heard the Father's voice from heaven at that time. I mean, the Trinity was there. And he was a witness to all that. But today, every child of God has the Holy Spirit indwelling his or her body and ministering to him constantly in many ways. And we have the words of God. We don't have one statement from heaven in a wonderful and glorious event. We have the words of God written down and preserved in a book that we can carry around with us. Or many of you, they can come up on the screen when you push the right button, you know. We can't talk anymore about, you know, I have my book, I open your Bibles. Turn on your Bible is, I guess, I'm getting acquainted with that kind of thing. So, we know what Jesus did when he came, what the Spirit is doing since he came, and how God's eternal plan will all end. Greater than John the Baptist, not in personal qualities, but in privilege and in responsibility, I might add, because of that privilege, because of the revelation that we have that John did not have. Jesus, in commenting one time on John, he said, the law and the prophets were until John. And he seemed to embody the entire message of the Old Testament. It's demands for holiness. It's proclamation of the coming one. It's a presentation of God's will upon man. And not knowing all of how that would be fulfilled. But we have much, much more than John had. I didn't say we had everything, or that we understand everything that's revealed even in the written word, but we have so much more. Jesus speaking to his disciples just hours before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane said that he wanted them to have joy. Now, that's another message, but he wanted them to have joy. Joy as such that can only be found through his work that he was about to do. And within that joy that we have the privilege of prayer. Prayer through him as he said, prayer in my name. He said, you haven't asked in my name. Ask that your joy may be full. And so we've come to a time of prayer. And I think we ought to consider carefully how privileged a people we are to have what we do spiritually, to know what we know from the revelation of God. The example of Christ, the application of that life to our own, and what it all amounts to as we read the epistles and even up to and including the book of Revelation. The least in the kingdom of heaven, greater than John, the man whom no man excelled, is according to what the Lord Jesus said among those born of women, there's not risen a greater, but he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. So as we press forward with our prayer to God, and we come through the merit and name of Jesus, and we pray for his will and ask him for the things that are on our hearts and the burdens that we carry there, we have to remember what the scripture says about prayer and the examples that were in the lives of Jesus himself, or Paul, or Peter. And avail ourselves of those great privileges and exercise those very definite responsibilities as those who have so much more than even the likes of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truths which you've revealed in your word. We thank you that we have it in front of us, that we can understand its truths to such a degree that there is even a contrast between us and the likes of John the Baptist himself. And we thank you for working that work through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Shepherd and our King, to bring that about in our own lives so that we, who are greatly privileged, will be able to serve you in ways that John himself could not, and understand what you're doing in ways that he could never fathom. And we thank you for those privileges and pray for strength and grace as we do your will. For Jesus' sake, amen.